the heck is that? I'm coming. I'm coming. Chill, chill. Oh, man, these guys. No, yo, if I'm laying down, God, I'm chill. My
Coach's Challenge Podcast. Challenge the call.
Hey guys, welcome back to the Coach's Challenge Podcast. Today, I'm going to be inviting these heathens to my crib. All right, so who we got coming through the door first?
What? Yo, I'm here, man. I'm here. And no, I'm not wearing no MB jersey. I don't care what you say.
But we ordered a nice one just for you.
Yo, Lamar,
it can't
man.
It can't be nice if it's coming from Philly.
Wow.
I'm Yo, Lamar, saying, man, I'm, just saying.
I'm about to send my invite.
I'm not an authentic Philly fan, but I've been to Philly before. I got family in Philly, so right. You know, I came through to see to check up on you, you know.
Respect, respect. I like that you got your mask on in my house. I appreciate it.
You already, man. Yo, COVID is no joke, man.
Yo, I only came through because my sister goes to school in Philly. That's the only reason why I'm at your crib, all right? That's it.
I didn't even go to Philly, through Philly. I'm on the TV. I'm on FaceTime.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm just logging in satellite. What's up, people? You got something on the floor over there under the table. It looks like old food from 2 days ago. You might want to clean that up.
No, don't worry about that. I'm saving that for later, all right? I'm saving that for later.
Nah, Migs, that's not old food. That's the 76ers.
Wow. Wait, who's number one in the East right now? Who's number one in the East right now?
All right, let's see playoffs, man. Let's see, man. I've seen a lot of fake number ones, man.
Yo, best center in the league.
I don't want to hear the Knicks fan talking about let's see playoffs when y'all barely know what a playoff is.
All right, you got it, bro. You got it, man.
Real quick, best center in the league, Embiid or Jokic?
I want to say Embiid, but being
easy,
but not being easy. Biased, I have to go with Jokic. I'm sorry. I have to go with Jokic.
Damn, not even Jokic. His own man.
No, the reason why is, yes, both of them can score nearly anywhere on the court. But Jokic does more in terms of what he does on the court. He does assist as well. His defense isn't as good as Embiid's, but his defense is very, very decent. Actually, it's more than decent. And he's better health-wise as well. That also factors into it. So as much as I want to say Embiid all day, I have to go with Joker for this.
Listen, man, I can't believe you're going to say that, Lamar, because Embiid right now got his team sitting at the top of the East, coasting 18-7.
He does.
While Denver, even though they're in a tough West, you know, they are, you know, a mid-level team. They're actually in the seventh right now in the West.
As good as Embiid is,
one game over 500. So,
but we talking about teams. Talking about what they do. We talking about what they do for the team.
That has a lot to do with, you know, how you look at these, how you should judge these players. Because if you're not making your team win, you know, what's the point of that? You just want a ball. You just want to be a Bradley Beal.
Nope. I feel like you just wanted to like stab Bradley Beal like real quick. Like I feel like you just wanted to go a quick little shake in the back right real quick. like I said, I feel you. I feel you. But I'm thinking about it just individually. That's why I'm surprised. No, but I feel like based off of who's around both teams, right? If you swapped Embiid with Jokic, the records would still be the same for both teams. I feel that. Because I feel like Embiid has a little bit more help than overall than Denver right now. Plus, Denver is in the West as well.
And Denver's hurt. Every other day, there's like another player that's gone. But if we just look at the stats, you know, Embiid's 29 to Jokic 27 points per game. And then rebounds, Jokic 11.5 per game, you know, Embiid 11. So they're pretty close in terms of points and rebounds. But then, like, it's the assists, and Jokic is 8.5, You know, Embiid is 2.9.
So right, in terms of, but then go to team wins, go to winning percentage.
Yeah, but then right, but then talk about overall impact, because Embiid is helping his team win by scoring, but like Jokic is helping his team win by scoring and by setting people up too. He's a point center, bro. So he's doing it in both places.
Let me ask you all this.
I'm going to give it to Embiid.
Ross gave those opinions right there, but let me ask you this. Who's more important to their team, Jokic on Denver or Embiid to Philly?
Jokic.
Right? I'm going to say Embiid.
I got to say it's even.
I can't say that.
I'm going to say Embiid. You know
it's
why?
It's not even. It's not even in my opinion.
It's not even close.
It's not even close, bro.
After Jokic, hold on for a second, guys. After Jokic, who else is on that team? That's a
Michael
team of
Porter Jr.
Jamal Murray.
When did you hear about Jamal?
Didn't Jamal Murray have a breakout playoffs in the bubble?
Was or looked like everybody? Oh. Everybody didn't know what was the difference between him and Gary Harris until.
Jamal Murray had a breakout bubble. He had a breakout bubble.
One at a time. One at a time.
Let Mix finish and then H and then Carl.
Look, at the end of the day, there is less talent on Denver's team than there is in Philadelphia. Philadelphia has proven all-stars in Ben Simmons and Tobias Harris. And in addition to that, they all have Embiid. Now, I want you to keep that right there. I'll just stick to Philly right now for that one. I just said they have two people. There was once upon a time ago when that team also had Jimmy Butler, and that team also had Al Horford as a backup, which he still is a good player. So they had a good big.
And they had Josh Richardson.
They had a big five, really, but they really had a big
JJ,
four.
JJ,
guys,
you're freaking JJ.
With Jimmy Butler, and they had JJ Redick. That team is what took the soon to be champion Toronto Raptors with Kawhi Leonard to 7 games in the second round. Tell me when have you seen Embiid carry his team? He wasn't even carrying his team at that moment in that series, the biggest important series in Toronto franchise history. It was a combination of Tobias Harris and Jimmy Butler and Ben Simmons that brought it over. No disrespect to Embiid, he definitely did over there, but he had a lot of help. Meanwhile, let's flash back to last season. Jokic took that team in the Western Conference to the freaking Eastern Conference Finals, guys. Come on.
Western Conference Finals. Just want to let you guys know that Carl Anthony Towns is officially playing today. So, you know, he's going to start. So it's February 10th. He's definitely coming as a starter. Welcome back, Kat. The NBA misses you.
Congrats to whoever has him on your fantasy team.
Yeah, in terms of Jamal Murray, like, yo, you are very disrespectful. Mm-hmm. All right, Jamal Murray, he's a relatively new player. Yes, we didn't know the difference between Gary Harris and Jamal Murray because, like, what, Jamal Murray's been in the league? No, we didn't. We
no,
didn't,
that's
honestly.
That's
like,
that's
it.
So true.
Yeah, but you
know damn well if I put both of those photos up and I say, tell me real quick, 10 seconds, who's Gary Harris and who's Jamal Murray?
We know now. Especially.
3 years ago, I could put that out there and just make easy money off the bat.
Especially because they have different hairstyles now. So thank you for Jamal Murray for growing your hair out. And thank you, Gary Harris, for keeping your hair short. We know the difference. But like I said, like, you know, Jamal Murray, he hasn't been in the league that long. So, like, he's developing. I think it might be, what, his, like, third or fourth season. And so now you see him.
Yo, he had a breakout bubble.
He had a breakout season. Right. And it's the same thing that we could say about like Chris Middleton, too. Like Chris Middleton, like
it was really during the playoffs, Carl, when he came back against when he had those games against the Clippers, I think, to knock them out. And then against the Lakers, too, in the bubble.
He had the game against Utah also. Like him and Donovan Mitchell were going, you know, back against each other, back and forth against each other. We saw his personality. We saw his pride. And, you know, like he put that team on his back. So, yes, we didn't know them at the time, but we know who Jamal Murray is now. He is a central part of that team. MPJ is also another central part of that team. They need to free that man, just like KD was saying. Free me. free MPJ, give him the minutes. Like, you know, he should be starting. Like, and I'm saying that also because I have him on my fantasy team.
As long as you put it that way, all right, fine.
But who are you putting over him? Will the thrill is not thrilling over him. You gotta put.
Yeah, they're killing his value, man. MPJ, man.
Yo, no,
they
MP, are. MPJ is a star, MPJ, bro. MPJ, he's MPJ a star.
MPJ, yeah, I'm not mad at them. I'm not mad at them.
It's working because at the end of the day, Denver always valued depth. They always valued depth, and that's the reason why they were actually so good last year. It just so happened that their B-list guys, you know, decided to just step it up a notch. And props to Jamal Murray for taking that role because, you know, for a couple of years, you know, that's basically been the same team. And they really didn't get too far. You know what I'm saying? But if you flip it over back to Embiid's side, you know, how long did the process even take? Lamont, you know, you cannot tell me that that Embiid is your guy because of the fact that he has not taken, he has been healthy as he can be, and he has not taken his team far in the NBA Finals by himself. He hasn't carried his team. Now is his shot to do it. Last year was his shot too at the bubble, and you saw how that happened. You saw what happened.
Hold on, Lamont, they said, yo, it's on you.
And he didn't, and he ain't get it done. So you can't, you know, look, they're right now number one, no doubt. Shout out to Doc Rivers. Yep. Shout out to Doc Rivers for that.
Okay. And now he's a way better coach.
Real quick.
If, you know, MB could actually carry that team.
Real quick, the reason why I pick MB over Jokic, even though Jokic does, you know, he likes to share the ball more, and he does get more triple doubles, way more triple doubles than Embiid. You know, he and he's done crazy this season so far. They've both balled out so far this season, but I'm gonna give it to Embiid because of winning percentage. He got his team at the top of the East. This guy got Jokic got his team a mediocre in the West. So I'm gonna have to give it to Embiid. Also, They're both doing great.
But one thing
way different, very more competitive out West.
It is more competitive at the top. But one thing I will also add to that. Remember, it is a Corona season. It is a PPD season. The Denver Nuggets, like, they had to take a lot of time off. Mm-hmm. So they're like, they're still like two games behind everybody else. And then on top of that, like, that inconsistency of having like the amount of players, like, you know, MPJ had to take maybe like 2 weeks off. Other people on that team had to take 2 weeks off. Corona hasn't affected the 76ers.
Philly went through it, but not to the same degree
that it affected the Nuggets. The Nuggets had to miss way more games than the 76ers had to miss. I think the Nuggets had to miss like 9 games, and on top of that, like, it was like more key component players. I think on the 76ers, the players that they lost, y'all lost Steph Curry.
Embiid sits every other game. We lost
basically our whole starting lineup.
Yes.
for how long?
I'm not disagreeing with you about the length of time, but you said it didn't hit our stars as hard. But it did hit our stars as hard. We had to play a whole week with our bench and backup players.
Embiid still doesn't play back to back.
Was killing it, wheeling and dealing for like 2 weeks. He was a stud.
Yeah, exactly.
A start player.
But to respond back to starting
30 minutes a game.
To respond back to Migs, I understand what you're saying about Embiid not carrying, but the reason why I said it's both equal is because when you look at the Sixers' win percentage, right? You have to look at the win percentage without Embiid and with Embiid. We do not win not nearly as many games when Embiid is out. All right? We do win more when it's both Embiid and Ben Simmons, and Ben Simmons is playing efficiently. But when it's just Ben Simmons and the rest of the group, we have a lot lower of a win percentage without Embiid.
Can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. I could agree with you guys that you guys win less.
Hold on for a second. I just want to say something because, you know, he did bring out a good stat. I would love to see what the stat is for the Denver Nuggets with Jokic and without Jokic. I would
that's
love
what
to
I, that's what I was going to say too. I think no, without
that's Jokic, a lottery bound team, I bet.
That's you. What I was going to say. They're a lottery team without Jokic. Yeah, especially especially the West.
No, but I'm saying that's why both of them you said who's more important to their team. That's why I said both of them are extremely important to the team because without them without Embiid, I don't think that we would make it into the playoffs.
We agree that they're both important, but I think if we're talking about more important, I would say Jokic is more important to the Nuggets than Embiid is to the 76ers. I think without Embiid, you still have a good Ben Simmons who can set up the offense. You still have Tobias Harris who can like step out and take on more responsibility. You have other shooters surrounding Ben Simmons this year. I know like you have Seth Curry. I can't remember the rest of the lineup, but you do have like an offense that can go through Ben Simmons and be competent in the East. Enough for you guys to be a playoff team. Like honestly, like some of the teams that are making the playoffs in the East this year, who are in that fight, like you know, like the Cavaliers and the New York Knicks. I mean, if they can make it with the talent that they have, I mean, it's inexcusable that, you know, the Philadelphia 76ers can't make it with Ben Simmons and the surrounding talent. I think he can.
The Denver Nuggets, all right, let's not forget about who the Denver Nuggets have. The Denver Nuggets have 7 players that average double figures. So they share the ball, you know. A lot of that has to do with Jokic and the way that he passes the ball. So he does contribute probably more to winning for Denver than Embiid does because Embiid has a better supporting cast. Even the coach is more achieved than you know Denver's coach. So I would have to agree with you on that. But as far as, you know, picking which center I want right now, I would have to go with Embiid. Because like I said, even though he does have a better supporting cast, he is walking the walk and talking the talk. You have the personnel and you're showing it. You're at the top of the East. Now if you were mediocre, you know, then you would be underachieving, but they're doing exactly what they're supposed to be doing at this time of the season, which is being one of the best teams in their conference. Denver, on the other hand, yes, they don't have as good a supporting cast, and Jokic contributes more and has had more on his shoulders and more to carry. You know, he does it real well in Denver for them too, because his style, you could tell that offense is straight up tailored to cater to Jokic. Once he grabs the ball, you see 4 players moving at all times. So he has many, many choices to just dump it off to. He could dump it off to a layup or a 3-pointer, straight up LeBron style, straight up being the center of the system.
And Jokic,
he's a great center.
But Jokic has also had the advantage of always having a consistent good coach. Like I like Brett Brown, but the problem with Brett Brown is he didn't know how to make adjustments, and he gave them way too much freedom. This is the first time that you're seeing Embiid, the whole team in general, with a coach that has the ability to make adjustments and to take accountability and make them do exactly what he needs them to do when to do it.
Right.
I think Jokic requires less coaching than Embiid does.
Oh no, I definitely agree, but still having a good coach in your ear still helps.
I think it helps, but one thing I'll say is that like I think Jokic is the type of player that will make his coach look better. Because I think you know, he does have like really good IQ. Like, you know, he reads the floor really well. He makes
Jokic great
passes.
A LeBron fan.
And that's the same.
Doc Rivers, and they're gonna be the best.
Yeah,
for this whole conversation,
I give you that call.
Why do we keep allowing H to keep throwing in LeBron love for stuff that doesn't involve LeBron?
11.5 and 8.5. Yo, that right there, that he's almost averaging a triple double. Mm-hmm. I'm telling you right now, Jokic is our MVP as of right now.
Man, get out of here.
Show me better stats than that.
Carl, when you were saying, I do agree with you that Jokic, I do agree with you that Jokic is the type of player that will make a coach look better than what he is because of his style and his IQ. And the fact that he grew up a LeBron fan, you know, it makes sense. But, all right, Lamont, but hear me out.
Well, LeBron is also one of those players that does make his coaches look better, too.
And it doesn't help. It doesn't help for Embiid to, you know, to be labeled as a crybaby and to be labeled as a dude that you know, he doesn't take it seriously. He was bashing.
He was a kid.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and there's one more thing I will say. It's kind of a troll, but you know what? To be honest, if you're gonna compare the two, one of them has a crying gift face, and the other one doesn't. All right, so
but Carl, does that maybe that might have to do because, you know, Jokic, he's a player from overseas, and usually players from overseas, we don't see them in the NBA have a ton of emotion.
Embiid is overseas.
Yeah, but he's in the hip hop culture.
He's
man.
Black.
He's Americanized.
So is Jokic. Are you forgetting
he's
what
more Americanized?
Are you forgetting that? Are you forgetting what Jokic's first fine was in the NBA? He was doing an interview with a reporter and he said something about somebody's defense and then he said pause.
I remember that.
No, he didn't say pause. He said no homo. He had the 90s lingo on there. So he's definitely hip hop as well. Don't let the non-melanated skin.
I'm just saying. The only reason why I'm pointing that out is because
proved beyond a shadow of a doubt that Jokic is better than Embiid. Right?
I just bring that up.
Like I said, I agree. Like I said, Embiid is still my guy. I will still pick him over him for my team because he's a Sixer. But in terms of like being non-biased, I still believe Jokic is the number one center in the league.
Well, So you know what we can do?
Yeah, let's leave it up to the fans. Hit us up on Instagram. You know, make your vote. Who do you think is better, Jokic or Embiid? I got Jokic as my MVP, and you heard the rest of the fellas. Migs, you want to pick the topic? We at your crib. What's next? What you want to talk about?
I just want to just bring out what's up with the.
I thought we was at Lamont's crib.
Oh shoot! I saw Migs in Lamont's refrigerator. I thought it was his crib. My bad.
Nah, we family here. He just go in the refrigerator. Don't have to ask. But you have to ask if you're a Knicks fan.
Oh man, I want nothing from your refrigerator. Ain't nothing good in Philly.
Let me ask you this. What do you think about that whole incident with the Mavs not being out there for the anthem? What do you think about that?
Now,
is it big news or you know?
I mean, from my understanding, let me say my understanding first because I read some of it before I came on, and from my understanding, you know, due to the COVID and the pandemic and the uncertainty of this season and all the crazy things that's going on, I forgot the word that the NBA used. But because of the craziness of this season, they are allowing teams to conduct their pregame rituals and their pregame everything as they see fit. Whatever is comfortable because of the pandemic, you know, try not to do too much, try not to get too many people together, whatever you want to do, anything goes this season. So if you don't want to play the national anthem, you know, you don't have to. Now, from my understanding and from what I read, they said that the NBA is looking into it once they started bringing in fans. You know, now that they're about to let the Dallas Mavericks have fans in their arena, they're telling Mark Cuban that he has to play it in some capacity. And I think they're going to play it after the game or something like that.
Yeah, it's now mandated that all teams.
Which is very strange because I was trying to find out what was the reasoning behind Mark Cuban not wanting to play the national anthem, and they don't really say. You can't really find the reason on the internet, and he hasn't really officially said why. he decided not to play the national anthem, the Star Spangled Banner, before.
He did. He put it out there. He said
He has a statement.
We respect and always have respected the passion people have for the anthem and our country. But we also loudly hear the voices of those who feel that the anthem does not represent them. We feel that their voices need to be respected and heard because they have not been. Going forward, our hope is that people will take the same passion they have for this issue and apply the same amount of energy to listen to those who feel differently for them. Only then can we move forward and have courageous conversations that move this country forward and find what unites us.
Well said.
There's only one issue I have with the national anthem. I don't care if they do it or not. My issue is the fact that, yes, because the Mavs are in Texas, they've always played it. All right? That's what Texas does. It's a part of that Bible Belt. Don't have an issue with it. My issue is most sporting events did not play the national anthem only until, unfortunately, 9/11 happened. And they needed an uprise in nationalism, right? Mm-hmm. Again, don't have a problem with that. But they get money for doing it. And it wasn't about nationalism for these sports franchises. It wasn't. It's about the money, right? And it shouldn't be forced on you. Like, I don't like the fact that it's a mandate. That's why we're in America. That's literally what freedom of speech is and stuff like that. If a team doesn't want to do it, they don't have to do it. It doesn't make them less American. It actually makes them more American because they have the option of not doing it. I don't understand why somebody not doing it makes it feel like it is not patriotic.
Yo, did you guys hear what Stan Van Gundy said about this situation? Because he weighed in on Twitter and he said,
I love Stan Van Gundy's takes.
Both of them are really intelligent individuals. Yo, he said, Stan Van Gundy said, this should happen everywhere. If you think the anthem needs to be played before sporting events, then play it before every movie, concert, church service, and the start of every workday at every business. Mm-hmm. What good a reason is there to play the anthem before a game? And I totally agree with that. And that anthem is outdated. It doesn't even represent the times. What's the point?
I hated having to sing it in school. I'm glad. I forgot what
age. It was dope in school when you didn't know no better. You know?
Even now. Look, at the end of the day, I mean, we just letting – it's just a song. It's always been the same thing for me as it is now. It's like it's a song paying homage to those rebels that said, you know, we don't want to take the British crap anymore, and they went for it.
Verse 2 is racist. Verse 2 is crazy.
First of all, I'm black, and as a kid, I went to church, and so Star Spangled Banner was not as lit as some of the church songs that we sang, so I was not feeling it when I had to sing it in school. I was like, this is, like, if I'm forced to sing a song, I need something to get me a little high. So it was not the same energy. I was in school just like, it wasn't hitting
the same, right? It doesn't touch your soul.
It ain't have a beat to it.
Look, all I'm saying is you want more people to sing the Star Spangled Banner. I need y'all to hit up Future. Let me stop.
Yo, Kodak Black is out of jail, man. Hit that man up.
Yo, I need to have the Star Spangled Banner hit. Then I need to hear Mustard on the beat or some shit.
That's it, man.
Now.
At the end of the day, I get both points of view. I think number one, it's out there to honor, you know, those times during those situations, and it's part of the history of the United States of America. So I don't have any problem, you know, having it put out there. At the same time, I do go inside with the opinions of that of like guys like Jeff Van Gundy, that it's like, if it's that important, we should make it, you know, more, you know, important in our everyday lives, and we don't. So what's the big deal of somebody deciding to not play it? You know,
I think it's crazy how Mark Cuban decided not to play it because, you know, they gave him the freedom, they gave him the power to conduct his pregame the way he wants. But then now that all of a sudden they're bringing in fans, you know, they're letting fans come into the arena and watch them live. You know, now they want to, you know, police that and they want to make sure that the national anthem gets played. What's up with that?
Yeah, they definitely policing that. Shout outs to the police in the background.
I got a hot take after Carl says what he's going to say.
Man, I don't even remember after all the police I just heard. Man. You know, as a black man, I get scared, man. Once I hear the sirens, man, I'm like, bro. The fire department this time. Yo, I'm on high alert. But in terms of the anthem, I think the issue is that there's already like a culture and there's already like a precedence. I think you know, it's hard to compare it to like, you know, churches and other organizations. Maybe like you compare it to schools. If schools were doing it, I think like we had to do the Pledge of Allegiance, but I don't think we had to like sing the anthem unless it was like an outdoor type event or like in the theater or whatever. So, you know, the NBA has this issue that they've been doing this now. And so now when people don't do it, it seems like it's rebellious. So I think it's more about like enforcing authority. You know, from the commissioner to say, okay, well, this is something that we're doing. Also, I think it's about the numbers. I know we had like a podcast before and I said, watch, they're gonna like, you know, slowly, you know, take away all these, you know, Black Lives Matter and all these like political statements because so many, they lost a good portion of their audience because people were complaining that, you know, the NBA was being, you know, politicized. And so I think, you know, Adam Silver is looking at this and he's like, you know what, like, I don't want that smoke anymore. And you gotta respect, like, there is a large group of people who have like a certain understanding and a certain belief as to how things should happen. We see it in how Donald Trump was voted. We see it in the insurrection that happened on Capitol Hill. There is a large mass of people that believe things should happen a certain type of way. And the NBA at the end of the day, however righteous they try to sound and seem, they do care about the dollar signs. And so I think, you know, this decision for them is affecting the money.
Yo, they do a good job of
They do a good job of placating it. They do a good job.
Covering it up and making you think that NBA cares.
Exactly, they do a good job. But when it comes to you know, to the bottom line, the dollar bills, it's a business, and they're gonna make a what they believe to be a good sound business decision. They are gonna try to create some uniformity. I think they want to step away from the decisions that they made, you know, during the bubble. That's why you don't see Black Lives Matter. That's why you don't see in the back of the jerseys, you know, like people's names. They allow people to do their own independent, you know, conversations on these topics, but they, as the NBA, have like taken a step back away from it. And I think, you know, if they want to do the national anthem, as long as they are allowing the players to individually decide what they want to do, I'm okay with it, because you know what, you know, there are some other Americans that when they listen to that, they feel you know, pride or whatever. They feel like, you know, some type of solidarity. It's an American sport. They want to do American traditions. That's fine. But if there are other players there that don't, you know, feel, you know, as tied to that message behind the music for whatever reason, because of, you know, their demographics or their backgrounds, they should be allowed to express themselves and, you know, exercise their freedom of speech by choosing, as Lamont said, not to participate. So go ahead. My bad.
At the end of the day, the NBA is a private organization. So, you know, they could do whatever they want. You know, they could set whatever rules, whatever regulations they want, you know.
Lamont said he has something controversial.
Yeah, you ready for this?
Yeah, go ahead, man. All right. Yeah, I'm here, man.
So the thing that I like about this whole debate on whether we as Americans watching sports should do the national anthem and stuff like that, and they're trying to force it upon these players like they did for Cap and all the other stuff. The thing that's funny to me is these people are the first ones to scream socialism on things that have nothing to do with socialist tendencies. But do you know what countries force you to sing their national anthem?
Socialists.
China, North Korea, and those are what kind of countries? Those are socialist communist countries, if I'm not mistaken. So the fact that you're trying to force people in America to sing a song that they might not feel that particularly pertains to them, Sounds a little socialist to me, but that's just me.
That's really part of America. America is like the great hypocrisy.
Good hot take there, Lamar.
Yeah.
What's good? So talk to me. Talk to me about trades. We already went along with all this other stuff. Talk to me about trades. Talk to me about trades now.
D Rose is back on the Knicks.
Talk to me about
the
that.
Rose is back in the Garden.
He's gonna disappear on you again for 2 weeks.
Hold on.
Is it safe to say that Tibbs is like Team Chuck when it comes to real life basketball? Because I gotta tell you, once I like a player, I try to get that player every year. Because if it ain't broke, don't try to fix it. If he ain't the problem, ain't no reason to fix him. You try to get that same person back. Colin Sexton, I'm looking for you next year too. You know, age, you're gonna be tough getting him last time. It happened to me.
Everybody wants Colin Sexton after I put him on the map last year. Everybody wanted him.
That was you.
That was me, man. He helped me go to first place in three out of four leagues. They started copying me.
It happened with Malcolm Brogdon. That was you guys.
I give y'all credit for that.
You know, it happened even now with Mikal Bridges. You know, with Mikal Bridges. No, not Mikal Bridges. You know, but he's doing good now, but not that level extreme.
My resume speaks for itself, B. Everybody know the players.
Derrick Rose, again, you know, Tibbs just loves himself Derrick Rose. I got to tell you, what's up? Matter of fact, y'all tell me, what y'all think about that? Because I have my own opinion on it. You know,
listen, they're only they. What's gonna be next? What are the Knicks gonna do next? They're gonna bring in Joakim Noah for $17 million, and bring back the old Bulls. What's next for the Bulls?
That's what Jimmy Butler said last night. Jimmy Butler said Tibbs is bringing back the old team. He's just missing a few pieces, right? I don't know if he was trying to, that's what he actually said. I don't know. And then he gave a wink.
I'm gonna let you in on a little secret, Carl. Pat Riley will kill him.
Look. What Philadelphia 76ers couldn't do with Jimmy Butler, they couldn't appreciate that man. The Knicks will. The Knicks will appreciate him.
Why do you think we got rid of the people who didn't?
Listen, to talk about the Knicks again and talk about the D Rose thing. Much props to Thiz because he got that team looking very, very respectable, and Leon Rose.
Give him his flowers.
Yeah, Leon Rose. But talking about D Rose, you know, bringing him in, I think it's a good addition for the simple fact, like from what Carl said on the chat, you know, he's coming in to be a veteran, to be a leadership, and D Rose has a lot of scars. You know, he knows a lot of the good and the bad of the NBA, and he's able to,
and the Tibbs system specifically.
Yeah, I was gonna get to that, but to show people like Quickly and Obi Toppin, who aren't having the quick success that he would like, and Quickly is having quick success. You know, D Rose is somebody that could speak on both sides of that spectrum. And to what Carl brought up, he already knows the Thibs system, you know, how what he wants on defense, you know, and the style, the play style, and the character that he likes to have his team play each and every night. You know, Derrick Rose definitely understands that, having much and most of his success under Thibs, you know, in Chicago when he won his MVP as the youngest player to ever do so. So, you know, I think it was a good addition, but it's still the New York Knicks, and they still will find a way to mess this up.
You think that he's going to disappear on the Knicks again?
Oh my God. I totally forgot about that time. B Rose was already on the Knicks.
Yes, this is the second time.
Oh my God. Yo, I forgot.
He won't do that to Tibbs.
This gives me a whole new trolling avenue.
I'll tell you this, though, but this is all just from my experience, you know, with Tibbs as a member of the Chicago Bulls. It's very, fortunate for the Knicks as a franchise to be able to have the most draft picks available to them next year's draft, because it's what's going to end up happening is that you are not going to Tibbs is going to play for the playoffs every year that he's there. He's going to push that team. There's no such thing as development. Development doesn't exist for him. It's not developing quickly. Yo, Migs, he's not going to take time for Migs. That. He's just going to say they're going to have to learn on their own. Migs, so,
Migs, real quick. Sorry to interrupt you, but did the New York Knicks play this for Derrick Rose?
Did they what? I don't think they did. But right now, they probably didn't even care, because they're like, you know what? They're sitting on, you know, barely clinging to a playoff berth. You know, they're hyped about that. You know, the New York Knicks, how they do. But I think that Tibbs is going to play for the playoffs, and it's not going to develop his players. Might even end up trading them for, you know, try to get some veteranship on there. But
don't like rookies, but I don't think he's going to do it. I don't think he's going
to
do it.
I think he should focus on developing the players, not really trying to make it to the playoffs.
I think the thing is, like, people constantly believe that developing players means losing games. I think, like, you can develop a lot of players from winning meaningful games and learning experience through that. They're also playing the practices against each other. They're developing that way. Now, quickly is definitely benefiting off of that. There are some players that just aren't good. And, you know, we found out after, like, a few seasons, like, Knox is not – he's not good enough. He's not good enough. Frank Ntilikina is not good enough. Damn. And so I don't think.
What about Obi Toppin?
No. Well, Obi Toppin right now is to be determined. You know, like, I definitely have a lot of hope and aspirations in him. He's a very athletic player, and you know, he's on the clock too. He's on the clock too right now, and I think. I think also like Derrick Rose is definitely someone that's going to be beneficial to both Obi Toppin and Quickly. You know, he comes in with that veteran experience, the pedigree, and the chemistry. Like, you know, when they were playing last night, I don't know if you guys saw the first game, you know, with Derrick Rose actually on the floor, he was connecting with Obi Toppin. And also, like, when him and Quickly were on the floor together, like, it was actually a good combination. Derrick Rose had like 14 points that game, 5 for 9, and he was able to finish in ways, in creative ways, in which, like, some of our players just don't have that in their repertoire yet. But, like, Derrick Rose, because he's seen all the schemes, I think he's gonna be a definite addition to us. And all we lost was Dennis Smith Jr. for it, who wasn't, you know, doing anything for us. So, you know, like, it's addition by subtraction, pretty much. You know, we lost Dennis Smith, who wasn't, you know, doing much for us. And we have, like, Derrick Rose, who can play quality minutes. He's another offensive piece. He does play some defense too. And I think, you know, I think with Derrick Rose, we should be able to beat the 500 and below teams. Now, of course, like, the more experienced teams, like Miami Heat, we're going to have trouble against them. You know, Derrick Rose is not saving the Knicks, but I think he helps us beat the teams that we're supposed to beat. And he helps Julius Randle too, because Julius Randle has to put everything on his shoulder. He has to do everything for the team. Yo, and now also, he can look at Derrick Rose and say, also, okay, you know what? There's somebody else that can help me out.
A man can only spend so much.
Carl, and not to step away from bashing the Knicks for a second. Yes, it's a welcome back. It's a welcome back for Derrick Rose, but you're not getting the same Derrick Rose that you had, 5 years ago in 2016?
We don't need that same Derrick Rose.
Yeah, nah, you're not getting that same Derrick Rose, but it's actually a good thing, because
you're getting the better Derrick Rose, in my opinion.
It might not be a better Derrick Rose, but it's a more humble Derrick Rose. And it's a Derrick Rose that is used to coming off the bench for, like he did in Detroit. And he at the time, Minnesota. He was actually, Yeah, and then, of course, in Minnesota. But, you know, at the time when he came to the Knicks, he was averaging over 30 minutes a game. You know, now he's under, like,
23. Yeah, we don't need that from D-Rose.
So you're not getting that same D-Rose as back then, which is a positive because he's not coming in to mess up anything you already got going. You know, he's coming in to blend in and try to find his niche in that system that they got now, you know. So it is a positive.
He's coming in for mentorship a lot because just off of his statements, he took out Quickly and he took out Obi Toppin to dinner. He sat with them. He was like, look, you know what? However I can help you guys to be better or to adjust to the tip system. Like, I know all about it. Like, you know, tell me. And, you know, that's what I'm here for.
Both and of then, the players, you know, are going to lose minutes.
Actually, Quickly and Derrick Rose, when they put them next to each other, because you know, they were both on the same lineup, you know, in yesterday's game, and they were doing really well together. Like, they fit with each other, and you have like two scorers and you have two people who can handle the ball. I think, you know, that works. We see in other teams where you have like a two guard combo and how it works. One of the teams that you like to mention is Sexland, because you know, like Garland and Colin Sexton are like, you know, those two combo guard type players, and you have something similar going on with like Quickly and Derrick Rose. It works. It's possible.
One thing about Derrick Rose is, you know, he's never been a very vocal leader. So, you know, the Derrick Rose that you guys are getting, yes, he's humbled, but he's not, you know, hearing him taking these guys out is actually a surprise, because that doesn't strike to me as the Derrick Rose that we know and see from his game.
He's a much older Derrick Rose. Man.
I'll end with that. Was like, I never really knew him personally, but I do
know because he wasn't a vocal guy.
I do know him on the court, and I think that he's taken a more active approach and being a mentor. He did it with he was doing it over there in Detroit as well, mentoring the young newcomers. You know, especially Hayes. He was trying to focus him, trying to make him, you know, be that point guard of the future for the team. And he's gonna do the same thing with the team over here. It's a good look for New York. Unfortunately, it is what it is, fellas. I think that's about it, man. I think we should, you know, I think in the next podcast, we gotta continue this, because we only talked about the trade that happened, but we gotta talk about the trades that, you know, are rumored out there.
By
you know,
time, by the time the next podcast months, comes out, there's gonna be a million more rumors.
We'll see. So we'll talk about man. That next podcast, man. Thanks for having me.
I got shit to do. I need y'all out my house now. All right. So
exactly. Oh, bro. Exactly. This was the worst house I've ever been at. We followed no CDC guidelines. Yeah. I see bed bugs, about? Roaches. You had pizza. You had pizza all over the floor.
Nah, man.
Sir. I came to the house on the door. It says trust the process. Now I went inside the house. I understand why.
Yo, when I went to the bathroom,
get out my house.
When I went to the bathroom, I saw a whole shelf of DVDs, and I checked it out, and it was all movies starring Mike Antwi. I was like, oh snap!
Hey, you like these movies, okay? You like Rush Hour? We have Rush Hour, but we have an African man, okay? We have African men. We don't do all that stuff, okay? You like Die Hard? We have Die Hard with that. Nice strong Nigerian man. Okay.
Yo, I see why Will Smith had to go to Bel Air, man. It's crazy out here.
All right, guys, it's been real.
It's been real.
And thank you guys for stopping in with us. Please don't forget to like and share the podcast on anything that you are on social media. And don't forget to follow us on the Coaches Challenge at our Instagram and on Twitter. See you guys next week.
See you guys next episode.
Peace. Later.